The rest of us will be in Psalm 100. Psalm 100 for this morning. We're going to read the entire psalm this morning. All five verses. I was trying to give you all a chance to be like, man. And then when I said five verses, you're supposed to be, oh, thank the Lord, right? Trying to help y'all get into the Thanksgiving mode, you know, finding something to be thankful for. You know as well as I do, everybody's aware that this week is Thanksgiving week. We have Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday, according to our calendars. And I was thinking about Thanksgiving and how it all came about. And one of the many things that happened to get to make Thanksgiving a national holiday is one of our presidents involved in that. President Abraham Lincoln, he's issuing some orders to actually make this a nationwide celebration. Okay, back in 1861, I believe it was. And I'll just kind of read through that really quickly, and I'm going to try to read through it fairly quickly because I want you to hear the way it was written so that we can talk about Psalm 100 as we think about our time of celebration with our families, right? How many of y'all are grateful that you get to go and be with your family on Thanksgiving? Yeah? And if it's okay if you're not, because I don't know your families like you do. How many of you? No, I'm not going to ask that question. I'll leave it alone. All right, so here it is, the proclamation. The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come. Others have been added, which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and to provoke their aggression, peace has been preserved with all nations. Order has been maintained, the laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict. While that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union, needful diversions of wealth and of strength from the fields of peace industry to the national defense have not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. The axe has enlarged the borders of our settlements and the mines, as well of iron and coal as of the precious metals, have yielded even more abundantly than heretofore. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, the siege, and the battlefield, and the country, rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor, is permitted to expect continuance of years with large increase of freedom. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penance for our national perverseness and disobedience commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, and sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purpose to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. In testimony whereof, I have hereunto set my hand and caused the seal of the United States to be affixed. That was a lot. That was one of our presidents declaring that the nation should come together in unity to be thankful to God. That's the summary of everything I just read. And he said he deserves our thanks. He deserves, because of the many blessings and the mercy that he's extended toward people, that he deserves the gratitude of a nation or a group of people or the entire world for that matter. And remembering that he wrote all those words while dealing with the conflict of a civil war. In the middle of so much confusion and so much hardship and so much ugliness, he's calling on the nation to thank God together. Right? Now, I'm 53 years old, which means my generation or those that were born the same time as me, we haven't experienced a lot of that kind of hardship because Vietnam was all but over with by the time I came in here. And we've had a few things going on recently that are getting ugly. But we weren't called upon to go fight. So we kind of got spoiled. And speaking for myself and maybe even for my generation, it seems like it got easy for us to lose track of what Thanksgiving is really all about, according to President Abraham Lincoln, right? Because it seems like he understood that even in the worst of times, and especially in the worst of times, we must be thankful to God because we can see him clearly in those times if we pay attention. If we're looking for him, we can find him. And it takes a person who knows God to see him in the storms of life or in the wars of life, right? And I've thought about Thanksgiving probably for the last 4 or 5 weeks coming up. And I've thought about a lot of things. I've thought about, well, I mean, the usual, where are we going to go somewhere? Are we going to stay home? Is somebody going to come to our house? Like, you know, the usual thoughts that we have with ourselves and the busyness of it. But I've also thought about how many families here in our community are missing some folks. Thought about maybe they don't have their usual dinner table to sit at, you know. And all the different things that come with all those kinds of thoughts are there. And I don't believe that God wants us to look at those kinds of things and put a damper on our Thanksgiving, you see. I think he wants us to notice how blessed we really are. Even in our struggles, even in our sufferings, even in our loss, even in our hardships, even if we're mourning with our neighbors or suffering with our neighbors, right? We can't have Thanksgiving without gratitude. Make sense? Oh, one other thing I thought about is what food we're going to have. I didn't figure I had to tell you all that. But we, you know, we're trying to figure out what we're going to eat. Psalm 100 is the most obvious place to look in the Bible that talks about Thanksgiving or talks about an attitude of Thanksgiving. And it's something that if we can just break it down as quickly as I can, because I know that y'all don't want me to be here all day. I can always count on my wife for an amen just at the right time. Let's read through it real quick. Let's read through it real quick. Verse 1, Psalm 100, and then I'll get to the slide. So, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Verse 4, enter the gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. I mean, it can't get any easier than that. If you ask me, or if you look into, I mean, it only took 5 verses to help us know about Thanksgiving. One thing I'm going to point out, and I'm going to try to remember to point it out again before we leave, all 5 of those verses are about God. Right? And as I was reading over this and thinking about how I'm going to present this to you, it hit me. It's like, you know, we're in a pretty bad habit of thinking about Thanksgiving, thinking about what I can be thankful for and what my family can be thankful for and all the things about me and self and taking inventory of self's kingdom. And if self's kingdom ain't in order, then I'm not feeling very thankful, you know. I'm talking about myself right now. But when I read this, it don't say nothing about me except for how I'm serving him, how I'm lifting him up, how he's God. Right? So keep that in mind as we go through. Let's go through verse 1 real quick. I'm going to try to do this really quick because I don't feel like this is something new to all of us. I think this is one of them reminder sermons, okay? All right, so feel free to say amen and praise the Lord and shout joyfully and all that kind of stuff, especially since verse 1 says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Okay, all right. Okay, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth, it says. I was studying this. I'm like, okay, well, how hard is that, really? If you're saved, how hard is it? And be honest with you, when your lives are washed away in a storm, it's pretty difficult, isn't it, for that to be the instinct? It's possible. It's definitely possible. There's plenty to be thankful for when our lives are interrupted like that. But it says shout joyfully, make a joyful noise, it says. Well, the original writing uses language that talks about a joyful noise as if it's a noise that warriors make after they win a battle or win a war, and they're on their way back to the kingdom, and they're joyfully shouting in victory, you see. And we often sometimes mistake that as sing a song or sing a hymn and sing it loud, which it does apply to that. But it's not what it's intended. What it's saying is, if you have victory, then act like you have victory. If you've accepted the victory that comes in Jesus, then shout to the Lord about it. If everything that we owned and everything that we would call our lives was suddenly gone, we still have what Jesus died for. So we can still shout. You can shout to the Lord in victory with tears in your eyes and a heartache. You can still do that. Okay? You might be broken down and torn down, or you may be recovering from some sin. You may be in the middle of repentance, and you can still shout for joy in victory. Because Jesus died on the cross, and you get to have, by faith, you get to have the reward of his victory. Isn't that great, y'all? I mean, I'm just saying. And we get turkey and pumpkin pie. You know? I mean, how can we not live this way? If you're in Christ, if you're saved, you're victorious in Jesus. The battle is already won. You get to be the joyful victory shouter. And notice it says all the earth. This was not just written to the Israelites, the Jewish people. It's not just written to them, even though it was directed at them to begin with, but it's written to everyone who is a believer around the planet. Because we all share in the same victory. Praise God. Isn't that amazing, y'all? I could stop right now and we could be thankful for the rest of the year, couldn't we? I know y'all are like, please stop. There's more. Look, there's more. Verse 2 says this. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. That's a tough one sometimes, isn't it? Because sometimes the Lord puts some opportunities in front of us that are just not our cup of tea when it comes to serving the Lord, when it comes to serving others, when it comes to just being a servant, right? Sometimes the Lord puts an opportunity in front of us to help us grow into being the best kind of servant we can be for Him. I mean, after all, it's what Jesus died for, right? That's kind of what I use to help me kind of surrender to whatever the Lord is putting in front of me as far as serving Him. Because sometimes it's out of my comfort zone, just like it is you sometimes, right? Sometimes it's not what I do, right? So I have to remember my commitment. I have to remember what Jesus died for. If Jesus can go to the cross for me, then what on earth is there that I wouldn't do for Him? You see? So that's why the key word isn't serve the Lord there. The key word is gladness. Right? Anytime the Lord puts in front of us some way to serve someone else or to serve Him or both, our attitude should be glad to do it, Lord. What took you so long to ask me? I can't wait to go get in this mud and help these people. I can't wait to go hug these people even though they're not really that huggable. Right? I can't wait to share pumpkin pie with the preacher. I can't wait to do it. You see, so it's like anytime you get to serve God, it should bring gladness to our hearts. If we're in Christ, y'all. If we're struggling with this, we got to rethink some things. We got to re-understand. We have to make sure that we have a good understanding of who we are in Christ. Because if we read verse 2, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. All of us should be like, yeah, that's what we do. It shouldn't be I got to serve. And then it gets worse because it's like, oh man, I got to serve and I got to be happy about it. No. This is not something we have to be convinced to do, y'all. I get to serve God. I get to tell people about Jesus. I get to love people. I get to preach the gospel, y'all. I'm an old truck driving, hammer swinging sinner, y'all. And I get to stand up here and preach the gospel. That's what I get to do. Amen. I mean, the other option is just don't be saved. And where does that leave me? Driving a truck, waiting to go someplace I don't want to go. So if we're serving the Lord gladly, then we come before Him with joyful singing. You ever met somebody that wouldn't stop singing? I mean, they're just happy all the time, singing stuff all the time. Like, stop. And they'll tell you, no, I'm not going to stop singing to my Lord. I'm not going to do it. Got a song in their heart. They got it. It's in them. It's coming out of them. We can't stop it. These are where the disciples were being arrested for preaching the gospel, and they got them Pharisaical finger wags. You need to stop talking about Jesus. And like, no, we're not going to be able to do that. Sorry. Sorry. And we think that we won't never be presented with that, y'all. Almost guaranteed, not by me, it's just almost guaranteed because that's the way life is. Some point during this week, you're going to run into somebody who doesn't know God. And the way you're living, the way you're walking, the way you're interacting, the way you're being in their presence is preaching the gospel or it's not. Whether you ever say anything about Jesus. It's how you show up for Thanksgiving dinner. It's how you sit at the table. It's how you interact. It's how you put up with things that offend you. It's how you pass the stuffing. It's how much butter you put on your roll. Right? It's all of that. It's bringing Jesus to the party, y'all. That's what it is. That's what it is. Is coming before Him with joyful singing. It's certainly on Sunday morning, like we just tried to do together, and y'all are amazing, as usual. But if it shuts off when we leave here, then we're missing something, aren't we? There's nothing I'd rather do than serve the Lord with gladness. Nothing I'd rather do than sing praises to His name in His presence. You know, when you were growing up, somebody who was in charge of cooking the meal, it was like early in the morning, you start smelling the turkey or whatever it is, the ham, whatever it is you have, and it just smells like Thanksgiving most of the time. It was an aroma that filled the house. And everybody knew, we're gonna eat sometime. And it was a sign that family's coming together. It's a sign that we're going to have Thanksgiving. Well, your life lived for Christ is that aroma that God is looking for. And how we do that today. All right, let's move on. We got to circle the runway. Verse 3. Make that on verse 3. Uh-oh, it's not working. Can y'all change it for me? Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. All right, that's verse 3. I'm just going to go quickly through this because y'all already know it. I'm going to say it, and then you're going to say amen, and then we're going to go to verse 4. It says, know that the Lord Himself is God. Just that one statement three times talking about God. The Lord Himself is God. All right, it is He who has made us. Oh, we show up. He's made us. And not we ourselves, all right? We didn't do anything to create anything. We're His. We're His because He created us, and we're His because He purchased us from the sin that we sold ourselves to. That was two amens there. Should have been the whole group. We are His people, y'all. We're His sheep in His pasture. We have what we have because of Him. We have green grass because of Him, because we belong to Him. We were purchased by His blood, praise the Lord. Why? What is there not to be thankful for? All right, then verse 4. Let's get over to verse 4. Now we enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. It's kind of a reference to the temple. Kind of a reference to Old Testament ways, but it's applicable today because God doesn't change. All right? The truth is the truth. So we enter His gates, we enter His presence with thanksgiving. Hebrews teaches us that because of Jesus, we have access to the Father all the time, covered by the blood of Christ. We get to go and talk to God at any time. In fact, Jesus says, go into the world and make disciples and I'll be with you everywhere you go. Praise the Lord. We get to talk to God anytime and always. We get to be in His presence. He's in our presence. We're just here. We're together. Why wouldn't I be thankful? Thank the Lord we didn't have to go through that mess by ourselves. Thank the Lord we didn't have to lose that loved one by ourselves. Thank the Lord we didn't have to lose all that money by ourselves. Thank the Lord that He was with me on that mountaintop because it was easier for me to praise Him. And thank the Lord I got brothers and sisters around me to help me stay on the path. And thank the Lord I got brothers and sisters around me that love me and put up with me. And help me grow. Isn't it great, y'all? All because God is here. So we pray, we give Him praise, and we give thanks to Him. We bless His name. This is all about how we live our life, y'all. Coming to church on Sunday morning and doing all this is very appropriate. But that happens as a result of how we live our lives every day. How we live our lives in the world every day is what causes us to come in here on Sunday morning together, united in Christ, and we lift up His name. And it's a sweet aroma in the nostrils of our Lord. That's the goal. All right, and then finally, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. Verse 5 tops it all off. That's like the whipped cream on the top of that pie, y'all. I'm serious. I mean, I'm not kidding around. I mean, it's not like I get to enjoy the Lord and all that comes with him for a day or two. It's not like I get to be blessed by all the things that come with being his for a moment or from season to season or just when he feels like it. It's everlasting, always. Never fails. Doesn't matter what Satan says to you. How many times has Satan said, "Where's God in all this mess?" How many times he tried to get you to be discouraged and ungrateful in the dark times? I've been with some of y'all through some hard times. I have. And I've seen the Lord being faithful to every one of us. And I've also seen the lies of Satan trying to pull you away from that. But this Bible right here tells us it's the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. It's a promise. It's a guarantee. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. And if your Thanksgiving dinner is not so great, then I hate it for you. I wish it was better. I do. Because it's not supposed to be that way, but people are people, aren't they? And sometimes it's hard to be around people. But even then, the Lord is there. Even then, the Lord is working in you and on you. Even then, there's something to be thankful for. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I'm going to say this right here, and then I'm going to be done. Because I probably owe y'all some time over the last few weeks. Don't say amen. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service to worship. All of this, what we just read in Psalm 100, is not just how to get through Thanksgiving and honor God. Not just how to honor God with our Thanksgiving time. It might apply that way in some way. No, this is what it looks like to live a Romans 12 life. It's what it looks like to have the Spirit of God alive in you because Jesus went to the cross and you put your faith in that and you repented. You confessed him as Lord and Savior. You were baptized into Christ. Your sins are forgiven. You have the Spirit of God. And it's evident every day of your life. It's evident when you're struggling. It's evident when you ain't there. It's evident when you is there. Right? You guys think I don't have good grammar. I do that to see if you're paying attention. Right? Y'all know that God loves you. Y'all know that God, I know somebody going to send me a text message. You know that this song. I just thank the Lord and hit the ignore button. Y'all, we got so much to be thankful for, y'all. You know we do. I don't want you to get discouraged by anything in this world. I know things are hard sometimes and there's challenges. And there's people in your life that maybe or maybe not helping you be thankful. I got some of those. But God loves you. Jesus wouldn't have died for you if you weren't worth dying for. Right? And maybe some of them hard to love people are the ones that God wants you to expose himself to so that they might know him. I'm telling you what. I know y'all aren't going to believe this, and then I'm really going to be done. I know you're not going to believe this. There was a time in my life where I was one of them hard to love people. I know it don't seem like it, but it was. Because I was in charge of me. And nobody told me what to do. I'm still trying to break that habit, but nobody told me what to do back then. If you told me what to do, it would make me go the other way. And it made it hard for me to love the way people want to love me. But I met Jesus and things are different, I hope. All right? So let's spend this week getting ready for our dinners and our families and our whatevers. And forget about the Alabama football game. And just be thankful, y'all. Just be thankful. Be thankful in a way that honors God and lifts up a sweet aroma. He gets pleased when we live this way. He gets pleased when he has his way in our life. It puts a big old holy smile on his face. Let's stand together. We're going to sing. If you don't know the Lord, then you're missing out. I would not waste any more time.